Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Everybody who's here in the sanctuary, everybody who's watching us on Facebook Live and on YouTube, good morning and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Amen. Amen. For those of you who are watching online, we are a Bible-based church located in West Philadelphia. Our pastor is Pastor Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. 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 And we've got what? A good word coming this morning. Amen. So get your hearts and minds ready to hear the preached word so that the Lord can write his word on the fleshy tables of your heart. Amen. 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 So if I can have everybody stand here in the sanctuary, and even if you're at home, let us stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be reading from Psalms, the third chapter, and I am going to read verses 1-5. And then after I read the scripture, I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then we will have our pastor. Amen. Amen. Psalms 3:1 reads, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And there's also another scripture that talks about the sleep of a laboring man is sweet because the Lord watches over them. Amen. Amen. But let's go into prayer, but let's listen to this. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. So for those of you here in the sanctuary and at home, let's cry unto the Lord. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Lord, we need you every day. We need you at every moment. And we thank you for promising that you'd never leave nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for placing pastors and teachers in our lives that we could get an understanding of your word. We thank you, Lord, for every day you have strengthened us. We thank you, Lord, for you have brought us through the troubles of this world, and you continue to sustain us. We thank you, Christ Jesus, for loving us before we could even pronounce your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, O Lord. Be in the midst this morning. Touch every single heart in this sanctuary and every heart that's watching online right now. And those who are going to tune in later to watch the recording. Touch every heart with your word, Christ Jesus. A word that edifies us. A word that cleanses us. A word that transforms us. For we need your help right now. You told us the world was going to get more chaotic. But you also told us to go ye therefore. So help us, O Lord. Strengthen us to do your will and to witness to your glory. Put a ready word in our mouth that we could witness to somebody this day who is going through it and doesn't know where to turn. Continue to allow us to assemble together, Christ Jesus, that we could encourage each other as we go through challenges as well. That we would count it all joy as we encounter diverse temptations. That we would be patient and wait on you, Christ Jesus, and know that you are in absolute, total control of the situations we face every single moment in every single day. Increase our faith right now to that understanding that you are always in complete control. And that if we would just trust in you, that we would just trust in you, Christ Jesus, that we would hold on to you, that we know that you would speak to the storms in our life and just say, peace, be still. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for opening your sanctuary. Thank you for anointing our pastor to preach to us. Thank you for allowing us to be taught your word. Touch us this morning, that every single person at the end of this service would be transformed and renewed because of the word you have delivered unto us this morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Let us be encouraged. We're about to hear the word. Amen. Amen. Let's make sure we get everybody comes through the door. And without further ado, I'm going to make way for our pastor, Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. Say amen as he comes.
Good morning and God bless you. You may be seated in the sanctuary. Thank God for another Lord's Sunday morning and an opportunity to come and gather in the Lord's house. So glad that you are here with us, here in person in the sanctuary, and those joining us virtually online. We thank God for you. We want to acknowledge what a wonderful time we had on last Sunday with our joy night, joy day, joy afternoon. What a wonderful program that was put on. The Spirit of the Lord was high, and many, if not all of us, were blessed who attended. So thank God for those that partook in that. Also want to encourage you, if you haven't been online on Wednesday nights for our prayer and Bible study, we're walking our way through the book of James. And I want to encourage you to put that on your schedules and to join us on Wednesday nights at 7 for Bible study and prayer. I love the book of James because there is so much practical information relative to Christian living in the book of James. And that's why we're just taking our time, inch by inch, verse by verse. We're working our way through it. And I want to encourage you to participate, because, again, I believe a lot of the issues, the challenges we face daily as believers can be addressed by walking through the book of James. So, again, I just want to encourage you, if you don't have that on your schedule, to do that. We're walking through the book of James. Amen. And so with that, let's turn our attention to the word of God. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to the Gospel of St. Mark, the 6th chapter, continuing our journey through Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 6. If you do need a Bible, we do have it. If not, if you have your own Bible, or if you have an electronic version of the Bible, again, the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. And as you have it, I am going to invite you to stand with me. We're going to add to the witness out of the 3rd chapter of St. Mark. And that'll be Mark 3:13. Amen. So we're keeping it simple. We're all right there in the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 6, verse 7 is going to be our primary text. Then we're going to add to the witness out of Mark, the 3rd chapter, in verse 13. Amen. So if you're there, you'll see these words. It says, and he called the 12 to himself, and he began to send them out two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, and no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he also said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there until you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. And assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And so they went out, and they preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons, and anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. Amen? Come on, let's add to the witness. Just flip back a couple pages, chapter 3, 13, 14, and 15. And he went up on a mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. And then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. Amen. And so what we're pointing out with the scripture in chapter 3, he calls them. And it's not until chapter 6 that he actually sends them out. Okay? So that's the reason we're reading chapter 3. He calls them at one stage, and it's at another that he sends them out. Now, before you sit, I want to go back to our primary text, which is in chapter 6. And I'm going to read that passage again, but I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. Okay? I'm just going to read it out of the Message Bible. I think it'll help lift up a couple things for our understanding. It says, Jesus called the 12 to him, and he sent them out in pairs. And he gave them authority and power to deal with evil opposition. And he sent them off with these instructions. Don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for this. You are the equipment. No special appeals for funds. Keep it simple. No luxury inns. Get a modest place and be content there until you leave. If you are not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene about it. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way. Then they were on the road. They preached with joyful urgency that life can be radically different. Right and left, they sent the demons packing, and they brought wellness to the sick, anointing their bodies and healing their spirits. Amen. So again, same passage, just read out of a different translation, the Message translation, just it gives a little bit more insight into the text. And this Sunday morning, I just want to preach about missionary misfits. Missionary misfits. Okay? Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have today to pull aside and to study your word. We thank you for this another Lord Sunday morning, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. And so as we set our hearts to praise you and to lift your name, we ask that your word would penetrate into our hearts and cause us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So this is our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Amen. This fly is going to get the best of me. See, every time I turn around, he's after me. The sending of these 12 disciples may appear premature, and for many, it may catch us by surprise. for the record of these men up to this point in the ministry of Jesus has not been reassuring. They have impeded Jesus's mission and ministry, according to Mark 1:36. They have exasperated him, according to Mark 4:38 and chapter 5:31. And they have even opposed him, Mark chapter 3, verse 21. Their perception of Jesus has been and will continue to be marked by misunderstanding who he is and why he's come. Okay? The sending of these individuals, these 12 guys, who for the purpose of today's message, I am grouping and calling misfits. Sending these guys at this stage of their understanding or misunderstanding of Jesus testifies to the beleaguered believers in Mark's church and to believers in every church since that time that the fulfillment of the word of God depends not on perfection or merit of the missionaries, but on the authoritative call and equipping of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let me read it again. That's the sermon. You get that? You down the road. The sending of these individuals, and let me just tell you what we just said about them. They impeded his ministry. They exasperated. I mean, Jesus got frustrated with them. At times, they even opposed him. He said this, they said that. He said go, they said no. You know what I mean? And their perception of who he was and what he had come to do, they had a complete misunderstanding about him. Yet, we read it in chapter 3, what? He called them to himself. Said, you guys, specifically. Right? Right? One was a loud mouth, right? One was a betrayer, right? Two were egomaniacs and just wanted to be puffed up. You follow what I'm saying? There was half of them we never hear anything about. They never did nothing. They never said nothing. But yet, God called them. And it is this bunch of misfits that he now, in chapter 6, sends out on a missionary journey. Are you following me? Right? So it's with that as a backdrop that we say this paragraph, the sending of these individuals, these misfits, at this stage of their understanding of Christ, testifies to the beleaguered believers in Mark's church, as well as in our church and every church, right, that the fulfillment of the word of God depends not on the perfection or the merit of the missionaries, or misfits, if you will, but rather on the authoritative call and equipping of Jesus by and through the Holy Spirit. The minded prophet Zechariah comes to us, chapter 4 and 6, and says this, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Are you with me this Sunday? And aren't you glad that whenever God decides to do something, he has the power and authority to get it done? Amen. How many of us have ever set out to do something, to go somewhere, to do something, to accomplish something, only to fall short of the mark? You wanted to go, but then when it came time to go, you didn't have the money. You said you were going to do this by next summer. Summer has gone. Now it's 3 summers past and you still haven't got it. Not that you don't want to get it done. Not that it wasn't your heart's desire, but something else has gotten in the way. Something else has prevented you from doing what you said you wanted to do. And it remains unchecked on your to-do list. It remains uncrossed out on your things to accomplish by the end of the year, not because you didn't want to, but just things got in the way. But when it comes to our God, we rejoice because we understand that God has the power to bring it to pass. Am I right about it? The word of God said, has the Lord not spoken it? does not he have the power to bring it to pass? Amen. So here it is. Let's jump into this. We're here now. Verse 7. Called the 12 to himself, began to send them out two by two, and he gave them power over unclean spirits. Get this. If you get this out of verse 7, you're so far down the road with the sermon as this. Verse 7, you'll see it there. God calls, God sends, and God gives. Okay? You guys see that in verse 7? It's all right there. God calls, God sends, and God gives. Okay? God calls. Who God calls is you. Right? Who God calls is you. John 6:44 says this. This is the words of Jesus. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Are you following me? Jesus said, no man can come to me, right, except the Father who has sent me draws him, right? That means Jesus simply says, you can't get with me unless my Father calls you to me, right? So that's why when we look at this passage, verse 7, he said, and he called the 12 to himself, right? Look at somebody in here and just say, God's calling you. Right? God's calling you. Now, the challenge for us this Sunday, as it is every Sunday, is whether or not you can hear or recognize the call of God. Right? We live in a world now where our senses are being bombarded every day, every hour, every minute. Right? Right? I can't get any of my sons, the youngest two, the older one's getting better. None of my young sons I can get them to do anything without doing it with the phone in their hand. I don't know how many times in a day I gotta say, wait a minute, put the phone down, then take the trash out. Put the phone down, then they want to sweep the floor with the phone. And I'm like, wait a minute. They're just, bombarded information coming over the phone, coming over the TV, coming over the information, all kinds of ways, just hitting all of our senses all of the time. And what happens, this is what happens to me as a father, a lot of times I'll ask them to do something and they don't hear me. Now, I'm a big guy with a big voice, even without a mic in my hand. So for them not to hear me is not a shortcoming of my voice. It is oftentimes they cannot hear me because they are distracted by other things grabbing their attention. Are you following what I'm saying? And if you can understand that about my sons and your daughters, how much more are we with the call of God? And let me just help you, since I'm your pastor this Sunday. The calling of God is not always, and most often it's not, an audible expression. Let me say it again. The calling of God is most often not an audible expression, right? So when I say God's calling you, that doesn't mean you're going to hear an audible voice. Oftentimes, God calls us by moving in our spirit, right? You don't hear God, you sense God. I wish I had a real church to help me. When God really calls you, it's not an audible expression. He doesn't call you by name. And there are accounts of God calling people in the Bible by name, but they are few and far between. More often than not, God calls you by you sense something in your spirit. You feel a nudging. You feel an urging. You find yourself waking up at odd hours and you don't know why. Why? Because God is calling you. Calling you where? To himself. Calling you to come aside to him. To commune with him, to fellowship with him. Why? Because God has something for you to do. Look at somebody and say, God's calling you. Not only does God call, God sends. Get this. Get this. This is important. God calls you to him so he can send you for him. Okay? Look at somebody and say, that's the whole sermon. God calls you to him so that he can send you for him. Are you following what I'm saying? So he wants to get your attention because God wants to call you to himself. That's what we read in our text in chapter 3. The Bible said he went up on the high mountain and called to himself those he wanted, right? And after he called them, now we see in chapter 6, he does what? Now he's sending them out. So I want you guys to be with me so you can understand my ministry and mission, and then I'm going to send you out. Are you following what I'm saying? The 12 disciples are not sent to do a new work, but to continue and extend the work already begun by Jesus. All right? The 12 disciples are not sent to do a new work, right? But to continue and extend the work already begun by Jesus. John 20:21, Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. I send you with the same message. I send you with the same ministry. I send you with the same authority by which I was called, the same purpose by which I was called. He said, I'm now sending you in that same spirit. Do you follow what I'm saying? He said, just like I was called and sent, so am I now calling you and sending you. And God is sending us not to do a new thing, but to continue the work already begun by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has now ascended to the Father on high. He is no longer in the earth realm physically to preach, to teach, to heal, right? But now, him living in us, now we become his ambassadors, and now we preach, we teach, we heal, right? All what? In the name of Jesus, right? Touch somebody and say, it's his ministry. It's not mine, it's his. I'm just hired to keep it going. I'm just hired to extend it. I'm just hired to make it go further down the road until he comes. God calls, God sends, and then God gives. What God gives to those whom he has called and sent is power and authority. Okay? Look at somebody and say, power and authority. What God gives to those he has called and sent is power and authority. That word authority means the delegated right to rule or lead. Authority means the delegated right to rule or lead. It means the power to act, to decide, or to command. Authority, delegated right. Right? Authority means I'm acting under somebody else's power. I'm not up here saying what I want. I'm not going where I want to go. But so whoever has given me authority, I come in their name. Do you follow what I'm saying? And it's because of their authority that they have given to me that I can now rule or lead. Okay? Right? I can now rule or lead. And on their behalf, I can act. I can make decisions, I can decide, and I can command, right? There's no way, now, how you guys are sitting there and not bouncing up and down. Just reading that, you have to get an image of the Word of God and the ministry of the disciples, right? They have to hear authority means delegated right to rule or lead. Right? This is what we're talking about. This was delegated to them by Christ himself. Right? He gave them authority to rule. And he said, I'm sending you out under my authority to do exactly what you have seen me do all around Galilee, right? Now I'm sending out, you do it, right? Now you've got that authority, and he also gave to them the power to act, decide, and command, right? Once they really understood who Jesus was, once they really received the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, these 12 missionary misfits began to act under the authority of Jesus Christ. They began to preach with authority that Jesus Christ was and is the Messiah. They began to cast out devils. They began to heal sick people everywhere they go. Why? Because they now possessed authority. If you got it, say I got it. All right, we got to keep moving, running out of time. Here it is, verse 8 and 9. So he commands them to take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bag, no bread, and no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. So now, he calls them, sending them out. Not only does he give them power and authority, here now he gives them instructions, right? And the instructions fall in two categories. This is what you take, and this is what you don't take, right? Straightforward. The 12 disciples were allowed, and I want you to listen to this. You bring your Bible together. The 12 disciples were allowed to take a staff, a tunic, which is clothing, a belt, and sandals, but nothing more. Right? The 12 disciples were allowed to take a staff, tunic, belt, and sandals. Right? Look at somebody and say, well, what am I going to do with this? Here it is. Pull your Bible together. Might I remind you that these four items that they were allowed to take on their missionary journey are identical to the instructions that God gave the Israelites through Moses on their departure from Egypt. Maybe I was the only one that got excited about this. Exodus 12:11 says this, "And thus you shall eat it." Talking about the Passover. Watch this. "But I want you to eat with a belt on your waist." Exodus 12:11. He said, "I want you to eat the Passover, but I want you to have your sandals on your feet. And I want you to have your staff in your hand. And so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Are you with me? But this is all that I got to work with is what? I've got a cloak, I got my clothes, my belt, my sandals, and my staff. Touch your neighbor and say that's all God needs to work with. Right? You don't need a whole lot. That's why God limited it in the Exodus, because they were going to leave in a hurry. Right? They had to be able to travel light and to travel quickly. So he said, don't pack up a whole lot of stuff. Don't burden yourself down, but you got to be able to travel light. God said, I'm going to be your provision. And in like manner, now we see the sending out of the 12, and he sends them out with the same instructions. Only wear your coat, only wear your clothes. Look, and he said, don't carry two tunics. That means two sets of clothes, right? Now, how many of you know my wife would have had a hard time with these instructions? My wife take 2, 3, 4 sets of clothes just about everywhere she goes, right? But Christ is telling us here, he said, look, travel light. Why? Because God is trying to prepare them to depend on him. Just like God performed a miracle in delivering the Israelites from Egypt by passage through the Red Sea, so God will perform a miracle by the hand of these missionary misfits who have been sent in his name. So now that's one side of the ledger. Let's look at the other side. The most startling particular in this mission of the 12 is the instruction on what not to take. We just talked about what we take. Now we're talking about what not to take, all right? And he lays it out. No bag, no bread, no bling. I'm preaching and y'all missed it. I gave you the 3 B's. He said, don't bring no bag, no bread, and no bling, all right? Now, everybody on that back row should have been like, yeah, Pastor, go. I'm contemporary, right? The no bring, no money, no financial resources. The journey on which Jesus sends them is unlike any other, for it must be made without an elaborate support system and with only a few provisions. The barest of essentials ensured that they place their trust not in their supplies or in their training, but in the one who sent them, right? It causes us to get out there in Jesus' name and to say, Lord, you got me out here. Now I need you to show up. I need you to show up because I have nothing else to work with. I don't have any bread. I don't have any bag. I don't have any money. So, Lord, if you don't show up and get behind this message I'm preaching, which, by the way, is yours, then it's all going to go up in smoke, right? But if you want something to happen here, God, I need you to show up and perform a miracle because I'm out here with minimal supplies. I'm out here with, I'm underfunded. I'm underqualified. I'm under-resourced. But how many do you know that if you have God, you have more than enough? God is able to make up the difference. God is able to put you over the top if you can just trust him and to keep his word and to prove himself strong in your life. Look at somebody and just tell them, God is able to do it. Here it is. Here it is. True service. Get this. Here's the sermon. True service to Jesus is characterized by dependence on Jesus. Okay? True service to Jesus is characterized by dependence on Jesus. Watch this. And dependence on Jesus is signified by going where Jesus sins despite material shortfalls and unanswered questions. I'm preaching far better than y'all reacting. I'm telling you that. Y'all not doing it, but he's doing it through his word. If you just get this message, true service to Jesus is characterized by dependence on Jesus. And dependence on Jesus is signified by going where Jesus sends you despite material shortfalls and unanswered questions. Are you getting anything out of the message? This is one of the ways you know God has called you. I told you it's oftentimes God does not call audibly. It is recorded in the early life of Samuel that he heard the voice of the Lord calling him. But every time God called him, he went to the priest. He went to the man of God. Said, "Hey, Eli, I heard you. You called me. What is it you need? What you need something? You want something?" Man of God said, "I didn't call you." Right? And because he was young, his ear was untrained to the voice of the God. So he mistook it to be Eli, the high priest. And he kept going back. So finally the man of God said, "Wait a minute. I think I know what's going on." He said, "The next time you hear that voice, don't come to me, but simply say, 'Here am I, Lord.'" Right. I hear you now. I've got redirected now. And one of the things I want to say to you, one, we've got to train our voice to hear the voice of God, the unction in the spirit, the nudging of the Holy Ghost in our inward man, right? But then we've got to, this is what I love to give folks, to prove that the call is of God, check what you have to work with. If you've got everything you need to get it done, that's not God calling you. That's either somebody else or some other part of you calling you to that assignment. But one of the sure signs that God is calling you is when what you have to work with is simply not enough. Not enough financial resources. Not enough emotional resources. Not enough human capital, not enough financial capital, but yet every morning I feel God calling me to this. Every time, all throughout the day, my mind is focused on it. My spirit is stirred up about it. Yet when I check my resources, I don't have enough. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's a sure sign that God is calling you. What we don't have in this text is the response of the disciples. We hear what Jesus says, and then we see them going out. But what we're not privy to is the conversations in between. Because I'm pretty sure that these guys just didn't jump at the opportunity. Sends them out two by two. Sends them out in places, oftentimes, where Christ had already been. So they were already used to the ministry of Jesus, the Son of God. Now here comes two misfits trying to imitate the Christ who had already been there. And they could have said, "Well, wait a minute, Lord, we don't want to go behind you. They're not going to hear us. They're not going to receive us." But no, that's right where he sends you. He said, no, go back. He said, "The seed's been planted. Now I need you to go back and water over it. You don't have to do it the way I did it. Just do it in the authority that I gave you. When you do it under God's authority, God will amplify your gifts, your talent, your ability to get God's job done in that moment. So I don't have to be like Jesus Christ. I just have to be myself and allow the Holy Spirit to amplify the gifts that I have, the anointing that I have, the ability that God has given me. And God will make up the difference. God will make what I lack. Anything that I'm short on, anything that I'm without, God tells me he is more.
Do I have any witnesses that God is more than enough? Any witnesses to the power that God often makes up the shortfall in our lives? Here it is. I got to keep going with it. 2 Corinthians 3 and 5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Here it is. But our sufficiency is of God. Touch somebody and say, it's not about me. Verses 10 and 11, he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Just as Jesus had experienced rejection, so his missionaries would also experience rejection. If a town or village refused to welcome them and their message concerning the Messiah, they were to shake the dust off their feet as a testimony against them. This was a reference to the Jewish practice of shaking the dust off one's feet upon returning to Israel from a Gentile region or country. If people do not receive the king's message, the missionaries were to symbolically proclaim their judgment. Now let me help you with this. Now, I read out of this message Bible. If you are not welcome, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene, shrug your shoulders, and be on your way. Our job is to deliver the Messiah's message, right? But we're not out to start a new work or our own work, but to continue his work. And his work and his message was simply, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, I'm here now, the Messiah. All that the prophets and the law spoke about, I have now come to perform the will of my Father, which to offer myself as a sacrifice for the remission of your sins. Just that simple. And all you have to do in response to that is by faith accept him in your heart as your personal Savior and then live your life for him. Okay? Now he says, if they don't want to receive that message, he said, then you have the right to leave it and them alone. Right? You have a right. Why? Because you've already done your part. You've delivered the message. Right? And now they have failed to do their part, which is to respond in faith. And so now you have the right, again, not under your authority, but under God's authority, to now shake your dust off, right, and move on to another town or village. Okay? Get this. Our family, our friends, our schoolmates, our colleagues, we witness to them. We invite them to church. We share them the word of God. We share with them our faith in Christ. And if they don't respond or accept it, guess what? It's okay. Right? It's okay. Still be friends with them. Still be family with them. Love them. But you don't have to keep beating them with the message. The only thing you have to do now is just live the life in front of them. You follow what I'm saying? And by so doing, either they're going to respond to your message or they are going to respond to your light, right? Because unlike on Facebook, we don't defriend them. We still their friend and we just live the light in front of them. And if they don't respond positively,
right? That's not our fault, right? Because at this point, we have left them in God's hands, right? Am I helping anybody? And the reason why I'm spending time on this, you don't know how many times folks have come to me and be like, well, a great example is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where it talks about being married and unequally yoked. And Paul instructs the believing spouse not to separate from the unbelieving spouse. He said, no, don't force a divorce. He said, love them as your spouse, husband, wife, and keep living the light in front of them. And by so doing, you may cause them to be drawn to the light and to accept Christ as their Savior. Right? Are you following me? That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You can read up on that. And so what folks often, I hear a lot of times they come and say, you know, Pastor, I've been trying to, you know, witness to people on my job and doing this and I'm doing that. And I'm like, look, well, don't go overboard. Don't get yourself fired trying to witness. Share where you can. Share the best way you know how. But after that, just live the life. If they don't respond, your continuing to love them is the equivalent of what they were doing there by shaking the dust off our feet. We're saying, look, you've heard the message. You see the light through my life, right? And the way I still love you and befriend you. Now, if you decide not to accept it, then you bring damnation on yourself. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because at this point, I've turned them over to Christ, right? Is anybody getting this? And maybe it's not germane to maybe to some of you, but like I said, number of people keep coming back and say, well, Pastor, what do? I keep witnessing. I keep telling them. I keep inviting them. You know what I tell them? Stop. You've done enough. You don't have to keep going over and over. Share God's message, then live the light. By doing that, you shake the dust off your, you say your blood is no longer on my hand. Why? I've shared with you the message of Christ, and I've lived the light of Christ in front of you. If at this point you don't want to accept him or his message, that is no longer my responsibility. You got what I'm saying? He didn't tell those guys, hey, if no one got saved, go back to that city again. If no one got healed, go back. No, no. He told them to do, watch this, the same thing he did last week in Nazareth. Y'all remember the sermon last Sunday? They said he could perform no mighty works there. So what? He healed a few people and then what? Left. And Nazareth was his hometown. If any city he wanted revival to break out, it was in Nazareth. But because they refused to receive him and his message, he left them alone. Right? And that's what I'm trying to encourage somebody today. Some folks, you just got to leave alone after you've given them the message. And after you continue to live the light in front of them. If you got it, say, I got it.
Okay.
Good. Here it is. Acts 13:49. The word of Lord was being spread throughout all the regions. But the Jews stirred up devout and prominent women and chief men of the city. And they raised a persecution against Paul and Barnabas. And so much so that they expelled, that they kicked them out of the city. But Paul and Barnabas, in verse 51, get this, but they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. Verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Here's the last part of what I was just saying. Leave them alone, watch this, and go on to someone else.
For every person that does not want to receive the word of God, guess what? There's someone else who does. Paul and Barnabas was preaching the word of God in this region, and because it was messing up their systems and the stuff they already had in place, all the prominent people kicked them out of town. The Bible said, but when they came to Iconium, they said the disciples received them. Oh, my God, I'm so glad you guys have come. I'm so glad. Look, you can preach here. You can preach it. And we're filled with it. For every person that rejects the word of God, God has someone else who's going to receive it gladly. Watch this. That's why you have got to move on. You're trying to keep going back to your sister who done told you 12 times, no, I'm not. You got a girlfriend at work who's listening to you talk to your sister and say, boy, I wish she would just invite me. I wish she would give me an, I would go in a second. I would go right now if she said, let's go at our lunch break. I would go right now because there, God has someone who's ready to receive him. But he needs missionaries that are led by his spirit and not by emotional connections, but rather spiritual connection. They kicked Paul and Barnabas out, and guess what? They left. I mean, they left that day. And by the time they got to the outskirts of Iconium, revival started breaking out in the city. Why? They wanted to receive the word of God. If you got it, say, I got him. Here it is. We're finished, 12 and 13. So they went out. They preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed them with oil. And many who were sick were healed. And this is the demonstration of the power that God gives. When the missionary misfits preach, the power of God fell. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. I want to read this in closing. I took time to lay it out. I want to read this. This is the closing statement. The sending of these reluctant and timorous disciples onto the mission field of life seemed like a complete mistake by God. They were unqualified, ill-equipped, and had never done it before. The uncomprehending and ill-prepared disciples nevertheless typify, meaning serve as an example, of believers in every age and every place who are sent out by the Lord of the harvest. A genuine call to ministry always calls us to that for which we are not adequately prepared. Right? So I was telling you earlier, if you don't have enough to do what God's calling you, that's how you know he's calling you. It is only in awareness of such that the Christian experiences the presence and promise of Jesus Christ and learns to depend not on human ability, but on the one who calls and in the power of the proclamation of the word of God. Are you with me? Matthew 9:37 says, he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Could it be that God is calling you to something more than what you have now? To someplace higher, deeper, in the will and purposes of God. As I told you throughout the message Oftentimes, God does not call audibly. And so my challenge to you this week, whether here in the sanctuary, whether you're joining us online, this week, purpose in your heart to get alone and to get quiet and see if God is calling you. You've got to turn off the distractions. We have to turn down the volume because maybe God is calling you. And I believe this message was to be preached so that you can be prepared, not with resources, not with support, but be prepared with an understanding of how God thinks. God thinks differently than others, and God oftentimes will send you, though you're not prepared, though you're not qualified, though you're too busy, to this, to that, not enough of the other. And in your own mind, you seem like a misfit, meaning your life doesn't fit the plan or purpose of God. Why in the world would God call me? I can understand why he would send my parents. I understand why God would send the pastor. But could this thing I'm feeling at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, could that be God calling me? Because God is getting ready to prepare me and to send me out on the missionary field of life for him. So that's my challenge to the church this Sunday. This week, the name of the game is to get quiet. Find you a place. Find you a time. Turn the phone off. Jump off your laptop. And say, for this next space of time, I'm just going to give it to God. And I'm just going to peruse the Word of God and see if I sense God calling me. Maybe where I'm going next could be the very mission field that God is sending me on. And all I want you to know is that all you got to do is trust him. He'll give you his message. He'll give you the power and authority to do exactly what he needs for you to do for him. Shall we all stand? Missionary Misfit. Seemed like that title could fit all of us. Because none of us have everything. We don't have everything we need. We don't have all of the support required. But yet I sense him calling me. I haven't heard from him audibly, but yet I sense something in my spirit. Could it be that God is calling me? Could it be that God is getting ready to send me out into the missionary fields of life so that I can be his ambassador to share his message and to operate in his authority? As a pastor, I believe I'm called to preach this message because that is exactly what God's getting ready to do. And so I come as a voice. I come in the spirit of John the Baptist as a forerunner to prepare you in advance for the Lamb of God is calling you. Whether you're young or old, whether you're male, female, black or white, rich or poor, God's calling you. He's calling you.
in the deep place, the secret place of your soul, God is saying, come back. Come to me. He says in his word, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. We're going to pick it up next Sunday. The boys come back, and you know what he gives them? Rest. Verse 31 through 33. They report all that he was done. And as soon as they finish, he said, yeah, let's go get some rest. Wow, you've been out on the missionary fields. You've been working in my name. And now I'm going to give you rest. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that has been ours today to hear the word of God and to have our heart and our ears made sensitive to the calling of God. So I pray over every listener here in person and those online that they would hear your calling during the days and weeks ahead. Don't give up on calling us. Don't give up on sending us. Give us your power and give us your authority that we might go forward in your name and by faith. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has not received you as Savior, let this be the moment of decision. Let this be the opportune time for them to receive the grace of God and to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we sit down, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ, you've never responded to the initial call that he's placed on your heart. Today you made a choice to make him your Savior. I ask you, come down to the altar. Just come. Say, you know what? I choose Jesus today. Today I make a choice. Today I walk the aisles, not for me, but for him. Why? Because I hear him calling me. Pastor, I never knew what it was. Pastor, I never understood it, never had anyone explain to me that God is calling me. If you're here, you can come. If you're joining us online, you're already online, go to our website. Say, Pastor, I hear him calling me. Today I accept him as my personal Savior. Today I give my life to Christ Jesus. Today I respond to the call of God on my life. Keller Tabernacle, I thank you. Be blessed. Thank you for your attention and attentiveness to the word of God. As you go, as you sit down, let us sit by giving the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. A hand clap of praise as you're seated everywhere.
Amen. Amen. I told you it was going to be a good word. And I will say this, that for those of you who have questions, you're unsure, feel free to approach any of the deacons or ministers who are here. Ministers, deacons who are in the sanctuary, just raise your hand so you guys can see who they are. There's Reverend Radcliffe, Reverend Lyons, myself, Deaconess Keisha, Deaconess Helena. Who else? I miss Reverend Curitan over there. I don't know if I missed anyone. And also, if you're online, as the pastor just said, hit the contact us button. We will reach out to you and speak to you and help answer your questions and help you in your journey. Amen? Amen. I'm going to cover the next part of our service. Can I get a, give me some organ drum something. Give me a boom, boom, boom. Give me something because it's offering time. All right. We're a little bit louder. Say offering time. Woo-hoo! Okay, it's offering time, folks. It's the time when we can get to say thank you, Lord, and I want to help in the operation of your kingdom. Amen? Amen. So with offering time, there are several ways to give, so let me go through them right now for you.
You can give by text message. You can text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. And you'll receive a link and some instructions for how you can make your giving, your donation. To give through our website, you can go to taylortabernacle.com/giving, and you can follow the instructions there. You can also give by U.S. mail. You can send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. And for all of you that are here today, you can give. We have the tithing and the speaker's offering, the preacher's offering right there on the windowsill next to the door. On your way out, you can place it in there. Amen. 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 So the next part of our service, I am going to hand it over to the wonderful Cassandra McCoy. Amen.
Okay. Good morning, church. The announcements for the remaining of the month. The pastor and the leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay at home. Today, August 14th. Is Open Door Baptist Church Community Day. They're going to have food, vendors, crafts, health screening, face painting, intro to Zumba, moon bounce games, and prizes. That was today, right after service, 12 noon to 3 p.m., and that's at 1632 34 North 26th Street. In Philadelphia, PA. If you need the address again, please see me after service, and I will let you use that. Next Sunday is we're going to have the service for Graduating in Christ, which was our John Mitchell's Celeste Scholarship essay. So please join us for that. And then right after service, we're going to have our Turning the Tide Back to School Sunday. We're going to have food, water, ice, music, games, back-to-school supply giveaways. So please, I encourage everyone, especially if you have children, you know, back-to-school is coming quickly. Not all the parents are happy. I know I am. But, again, school supplies are expensive. I know I've been purchasing them lately. And so please come out, get a book bag and some school supplies. And that is it for our announcements. Thank you.
I only heard a light hand clap. Get a lot of hand clap. There we go. Amen. Amen. We are at the end of our service. We will have our pastor come out to give us our benediction. Amen.
Shall we all stand? Thanks again for being a wonderful church. Thanks again for coming out this Sunday. If you can join us, let's head over to North Philly. We're going to rock out with Community Baptist Church. They got a lot going on and have been so faithful in supporting us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that you have given us, not only to worship together, but to be joined with your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, we ask that you continue to grow us up and to mature us spiritually, to become more and more like your Son until that fateful day when the great trumpet will sound, and we shall all be changed and made like him. So until then, Lord, strengthen us, encourage our hearts, edify and build up your church, so that we as missionary misfits
might go out and build your kingdom. This is our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Taylor. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, the rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.